Sinn Féin has insisted that a border poll must be called with immediate effect. Yesterday, the Times newspaper reported that the Prime Minister had doubts that the government would win a referendum on maintaining Northern Ireland's place within the UK. It said Mrs May had been discussing Brexit plans with Jacob Rees-Mogg when she made the comments. The newspaper said Mr Rees-Mogg had expressed the view that the government would win a future border poll just as it won the 2014 independence referendum in Scotland, and the Times quoted Mrs May as saying, "I would not be as confident as you. That's not a risk I'm prepared to take. We cannot be confident on the politics of the situation, on how it plays out." What do you think this morning? 0 30 30 80 55 55. How would you vote? And indeed, do you feel like you are informed enough and have all the info you would need to make an informed decision? Earlier, I spoke to Sinn Féin's Declan Kearney and asked if the party had spoken too soon.
On the contrary, I think that these comments attributed to Theresa May, if they're correct, suggesting that she is opposed to the convening of a unity referendum, is the latest evidence that this particular British government is in fact holding democracy and the political process in the North to be held hostage to political divisions within the British Tory party.
There is some people tackling them would claim that maybe this is you taking Theresa May's private conversation out of context. So this was a conversation behind closed doors with Rees-Mogg, and she was maybe trying to convince him, who is, you know, we all know he's an ultra-Brexiteer, you know, and trying to convince him away from his preferred option of maximum facilitation.
Well, to just finish the point I was trying to make, I do think that this represents an example of the political process here once again being held hostage to political divisions within the Tory party and also its ongoing alliance with the DUP. Now, to reference that back to your question about private conversations and so on, remember that this story appeared on the front page of the London Times, and it did reference the fact that it stems back to discussions within the British cabinet in relation to their handling of the Brexit issue. Now, Brexit in 2016, when the referendum took place, was a further example of how the British government has shown absolutely no regard for the democratic will of people here in the north of Ireland.
Okay.
When we voted to remain. So once again, we're seeing the interests of the British Tory party supersede the rights of citizens here in the north.
Okay, well, Sinn Féin, they don't want a hard Brexit. So some might claim that maybe this is the Prime Minister, Theresa May, almost trying to help you with that.
I actually think that this is the latest example of British government duplicity. And it is an affront to the legitimate aspiration of Republicans and Nationalists to a united Ireland, which is provided for in the context of a unity referendum under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. Now, the British government's role under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement should be to facilitate a unity referendum. And remember, Peter Brook many years ago said they had no selfish or strategic interest in the affairs of the North. I believe Theresa May has crossed a line in relation to the rigorous impartiality which is required of the British government under the Good Friday Agreement,
okay,
as endorsed by the people of Ireland, North and South.
If her comments are, these comments as reported, are accurate, surely, and you know this, it's the Secretary of State, it's Karen Bradley, who is important here. She is the person who really matters, and it is her who would decide if the conditions have been met to call for a border poll.
And to set this out, Theresa May has made these attributed remarks. Subsequent to those attributed remarks being published, we've had a facile attempt by Karen Bradley to later suggest that the conditions for a unity referendum don't actually exist. Now, in light of her and Theresa May's misrepresentation of the true status of legacy investigations in Westminster last week, I find that hard to accept.
All
right. Unity referendum should now be called with immediate effect.
Do you really think it's going to happen? You spoke before, I think your party leader spoke about how you wanted to bring your unionist brothers and sisters along with you, whereas you are now, you want this with immediate effect. So how are you going to try and convince them? Is this after the poll, after people have been and voted, and then it's too late in terms of the conditions and what would actually it would mean to people? It's too late, you've already voted.
We have consistently said, call a unity referendum, set a date for a unity referendum, and let that be the catalyst for a very far-reaching, comprehensive and inclusive discussion about what a future constitutional model on the island might look like, which could guarantee civil and religious liberties for all citizens, guarantee both an Irish identity and a British identity, and be respectful of all traditions and political aspirations.
Okay. But your president, just to go back to this point, Mary Lou McDonald said, and this is a couple of months ago, this is at the beginning of this year, said that Sinn Féin will aim to convince our unionist brothers and sisters that a united Ireland is the best way forward. So how would you do that if you are calling for this with immediate effect?
I'm calling for a decision for a unity referendum to be called with immediate effect. We need to set a date. That might be sometime in the future. That could be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ahead. But in the context of setting a date for a unity referendum, so, and I believe that...
What's that time frame, Declan, just to be clear? Is it 1 year or 5 years or what?
That's a decision that clearly needs to be made on the basis of a conversation. When Theresa May came to Ireland on the 12th of February last, 2 days before the DUP reneged on the advanced draft agreement which we made with them to re-establish the political institutions here in the North on the basis of rights and proper power sharing. Across the table from Theresa May, myself, Mary Lou McDonald, Michelle O'Neill and Conor Murphy put to her and Karen Bradley, that's the first item that we raised, it was now time for a substantive conversation to commence between us and the British government about how we create the circumstances for an inclusive conversation about how we can, in fact, facilitate a unity referendum.
Okay, well, with that time frame in mind, how long do you think it will take to get unionists to a point where they are ready for a united Ireland?
What I will say is that the change will only come when Republican leaders like myself have successfully persuaded our unionist brothers and sisters,
of course,
that there is a better option for them in the context of a new...
With respect, Declan, that was not the question. How long do you think this would take?
Please let me finish.
Please answer the question, Declan.
In the context of an all-Ireland new constitutional democracy. And that change will take as long as it takes.
You said 1 year or 1 to 7 years a moment ago. So I'm simply asking, how long do you think it would take for you, your colleagues, to convince unionists, your unionist brothers and sisters, to get to a point where they believe that a united Ireland is the right thing?
I think the political landscape has fundamentally changed in the north of Ireland and, in fact, across the island as a whole. The issue of Irish unity is now being talked about in a way that has not been discussed for many, many years, indeed for probably two decades. So Irish unity is now central to the political discourse. Everyone is re-evaluating all of the old, previous constitutional, political and economic assumptions about the status quo. And I believe that Brexit has become a strategic game changer. And for citizens on the island of Ireland, and here in the north of Ireland, should look towards what can be a better option for us all, both constitutionally and economically, and in terms of rights.
There are some, and you will be aware of this, Declan, that will say you and your party members are using the fact that these discussions around a united Ireland and that border poll have been more relevant recently, that you're just trying to take advantage of Brexit. And in fact, you don't really care what unionists think. You think you see an opportunity now and you are trying to take it.
Our approach to this discussion and changing the future of the island is being taken forward in an entirely sincere and responsible way. We want to create an agreed united Ireland which embraces all traditions and all citizens here. The person who has brought more instability into the political process here as a result of further recklessness on the part of the British government is Theresa May. And what I will say to you is that Republicans and Nationalists have absolutely no confidence in her government's ability now to make a positive contribution towards resolving the ongoing political crisis, or indeed to advance the peace process. So let us together, Unionists and Republicans, look towards a new dispensation which we can shape together, rather than relying upon reckless and irresponsible interventions being made by the British Prime Minister.
So let's say, if going back to your time frame, in 7 years' time there is a referendum and the result of that is that the majority want a united Ireland, what would happen then?
in no circumstances we need to begin the transition towards the constitutional model that would give expression to a new agreed Ireland. And we have called on the Irish government in the Dáil to bring forward a white paper on Irish unity.
Do you know what would happen? Do you have any recommendations as to what would happen? I guess I'm really asking, Declan, have you thought this through?
Absolutely. I mean, the Good Friday Agreement gives us the roadmap. There's a requirement for a referendum on both sides of the island in relation to the constitutional change. We've advised, we've called for the Irish government to bring forward an a white paper on Irish unity to establish an all-party Oireachtas committee.
And would Stormont in Northern Ireland, would it still remain, Declan?
In relation to the convening of a border poll and preparing the transition to a united Ireland. And I think, and this is really important, I think that in the context of the type of discussion that we are advocating about the future, then everything is on the table. So let's look at the kind of model that would provide all of the types of guarantees and certainties that unionist citizens would expect.
And I'm sorry to keep pushing you, Declan, but we are pushed for time because we only have a few minutes left. You talk, your president, Mary Lou McDonald, spoke about trying to convince your unionist brothers and sisters. So I'm now asking you to maybe give a few examples to outline what that might actually mean, your opportunity to try and convince them. So, for example, would Stormont, would the Assembly still exist in Northern Ireland or in the North? And would there still be mandatory coalition?
I would welcome the idea of a discussion around the retention of the regional parliament here in the North in the context of a new constitutional democracy on the island as a whole.
You'd welcome the discussion, but would you welcome it actually to be maintained and to be kept?
Yes, I know. You're asking questions, but I'm trying to give you answers. In the context of an all-island constitutional democracy in a unitary state, a national democracy. And I believe that due consideration needs to be given to all of the constitutional and political requirements that would guarantee...
Let me ask you again, Declan, please. Would you, and I know you've said you would welcome the discussion, but as the outcome of that discussion, do you think that Stormont should remain a mandatory coalition part of that? And you know the reason behind this question, because if a unionist is a unionist, they will want to make sure that they will still be represented how they see fit. And that's why this specific question is really important.
Let's have that conversation, but let's have it in a very open minded way.
But how do you feel about it?
Let me answer your question this way. Do I believe that you can be an orange man or an orange woman in a future United Ireland? Yes, I do. Can we give guarantees in relation to the continuation of the British identity in a future unitary state? Yes, I do. And is it possible to continue to owe allegiance to the unionist political tradition in a future United Ireland, then yes, I do. And the responsibility of people like myself and others as Republican leaders with a vision for the future and of a future constitutional democracy that would give guarantees in relation to an agreed United Ireland is that we need to enable that type of discussion.
OK. Declan Kearney from Sinn Féin. It will be interesting to see what the callers think this morning. 03030 80 55 55. Thank you very much, Declan.
You're welcome.